You are singing well. Now, I don't really know the difference if you're not singing well or not, except that you sang well this morning and you sang well this evening, so thank you for that. And I don't know what this switch is right here. It's a little bit daunting. Maybe there's a trap door. If you go too long, things you disappear. Or when I became the pastor of our church in Longmont, Colorado, I was there for 10 years. We were there for 10 years. And then the pastor resigned and I became the senior pastor. There was quite a high pulpit, which is a problem for not a high person. And I had a pulpit made, but we had a 6'5 youth pastor. And I'm not 6'5. So I heard a laugh over there. So there was a toggle switch on the, and there was a gear mechanism. And if somebody needed to, they could raise the internal part of the pulpit up, and or raise the internal lower the internal portion of the pulpit down to where normal people are. And that's kind of reminds me. Anyway, that's what the switch looks like. Could also be, who knows? Could be panic. So, in our Bibles, please, would you go back to the 67th Psalm that we opened the service with this morning? That was not of my design. That was, I would assume, Dr. Paul's design. But it's a great text that we'll start with tonight. We're just going to read it. I'm not even going to comment on it. But I'd like it to be in your mind and heart because we're going to do this again at the very end of the service. And we're going to pray through this text, and I'm just going to see what kind of time we have. I haven't asked. I don't know what you would be comfortable with here. I don't know if we open the floor for folks to pray, if you would pray, or if it'd be best for me to pray. And I'm just going to wait until we get to the end to figure that out. But there is the subject matter tonight that I'll get to here in just a few moments has to do with God's people praying together. That is a big part of the ministry of Acorn Global Advance. And one of the things that is a cherished endeavor is to pray God's word. Not just to pray a prayer list or to pray what comes to mind, which both are fine, but to pray God's word, and specifically to pray God's word together. So one of the reasons that we make corporate prayer or united prayer a part of Acorn Global Advance, the missions ministry that we have, is because of probably, I think I could say, extensive international travel, it became very obvious that Americans pray by default personally. Much of the rest of the world, Southeast Asia, China, India, even Mexico, Western Africa, if you say, let's pray for Tom that he needs to trust Christ as Savior, the default is, well, let's get people together and let's pray together. That is a united corporate prayer default, whereas Americans simply pray by themselves. Or they'll say, I'll add it to my prayer list, or I will pray for that this week. Not saying that we don't get together to pray, but increasingly, it is rare to find a church like this church that puts an emphasis on corporate prayer. So we're going to look tonight at what it means to pray God's word. And we're going to be in a few moments in a New Testament passage. But I've been asked again this morning if I would just outline a little bit of what Acorn Global Advance does, because some of the folks who were here a few weeks ago were not here, or weren't here a few weeks ago that are now. And so I'll just briefly comment that from Acts chapter 2, there is a model of gospel advance of how the early church was fleshing out the Great Commission. There are several things that are mentioned in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, three of which we have chosen to focus our attention on. Number one being the prayers of the early church, or God's people praying together, corporate prayer, united prayer. Been talking about that already. Another aspect of that would be, or the subsequent to that would be, the matter of business innovation, where the scripture says they sold their possessions and belongings and gave to those in need. So they weren't necessarily writing checks or reaching into their pockets for cash. They were actually being creative, innovative, to generate revenue to meet the needs of 3,000 people that had just trusted Christ as Savior, who were probably being disenfranchised from their businesses and their families. We don't have that today. We would long for that today, to have that many people trust Christ, but we do have missional needs. And so we encourage people to use businesses. We encourage people to start businesses. We encourage people to have side businesses, be creative in generating revenue streams for the advance of the gospel, for the enhancement of the missions operation here at this ministry, and other ministries as well. So we encourage business innovation. Two of the things that have surfaced recently in this area are what we call business bold Greenville. And I touched on that briefly this morning. And that is business leaders praying in Greenville for the advance of the gospel in the business community. We've done now two of those prayer meetings. We're focusing on the last Friday of each month. And the first prayer meeting, we had about 20 business leaders come and pray. This last Friday, we had 13. Holiday weekend, it's very difficult to put that on the calendar. And we do it at noon, which is an awkward time. But it's why we call it business bold. And we don't have lunch. We don't want to be distracted by food, but we're praying for a revival, praying for awakening. And that has now gotten traction, is getting traction in New York City, in Denver, in Kansas City, and even a little town in outside of Toronto, Ontario, well, a couple hours out of Toronto, called Kingston, Ontario, where there's a fellow there that is working on gathering business leaders together for prayer. So God is at work. And I think I could say this safely amongst you folks, I don't think you'll think negatively about this, often churches don't have an appetite for corporate prayer. It's not entertaining. It doesn't draw a crowd. Businesses have a vacuum. Businesses have an interest. It's fascinating, and it's something we didn't expect. So the other aspect of this matter of God's people praying together is what we've called grace businessing. Much like grace giving, where it's obvious that God brings in funds for gospel advance, grace businessing is we surround a business with a team of individuals praying, usually at the same time during the day, praying for that business, much like Joseph. Potiphar is said to be blessed because of Joseph in the Old Testament. And we want to see a business blessed because of a dependency in prayer by a prayer team. And we have now about 10 or 11 businesses in this area that have allowed us to build a prayer team around them. And the testimonies we're getting from them are striking about God blessing the business. And as the business sees an increase in revenue, then they have more to give. And this came up on Friday with a real estate fella that we're going to be working with. We're not currently working with, but we will be. And he said, I want to earn more so that I can give more. Now, I love that heart, and you would love that heart as also. He's not out to build his own empire. He's out to be a conduit of funds for gospel advance. And he has built a team around Greenville, and it's been really, really neat to see that type of dynamic. He said, the time is short, and I want my business to matter for kingdom advance. So praise the Lord for that. So that's the business innovation side, and then the networking side. We have corporate prayer, innovation, and then networking, where we encourage people to just look at the people you know. And if there's maybe a project that your church has, then send them an email or link a social media post to them or something. And instead of just necessarily trying to see how many friends you can get on Facebook, this is a ministry tool to be able to say, we're going to use our social contacts for the advance of the gospel. So we have folks that subscribe to our newsletter, and then when they get our newsletter, which often has a gospel advance project in it, they send it to all their contacts. And it's fascinating to see what God does, because there's people we would never know, but you do, that are interested. So as a result of that, I'm trying to think of one of the most recent ones. There's a pastor in Mozambique, Africa, that needed a Land Rover. He needed a used rugged vehicle for rugged terrain, and it was going to be about $35,000 for this vehicle. We put it on our website. Folks went into action and distributed the emails to their network. And within just a couple of weeks, we not only had $35,000, we had $47,000. It went over the goal, and he was able to buy a couple of motorcycles as well as have some maintenance funds for another vehicle that he has. He's just excited about being able to have these gospel tools. And the people that are giving are excited to help him get those tools. And we're in the middle going, this is so cool. A lot of fun doing the work of the Lord this way. So that is Acorn Global Advance. Now, I say all that to say there is a sign-up sheet in the book room. And I know that because it was there the last time I was here, and I forgot to come get it. So if you did sign up and you're not getting our emails, it's not because it's going to spam. It's because it's my fault. And so I will remember that. I'll probably let it, I think the reason is, you know, I was encouraged to let it be there for a week or so that folks could have time to sign up that forgot about it, and I forgot about it. So we will attend to that post-haste. So with that, would you take your Bibles and go to John, I'm sorry, we didn't read Psalm 67. Let's read Psalm 67, and then we'll go to the book of John. Psalm 67 says this, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth, Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. So you have permission, if you wish, if the sermon is boring and you want to go and look at this text and think about how you would pray this text, then please do that, and we'll pray through this text at the end of the service this evening. Maybe together, maybe just me. But in the meantime, would you go to John chapter 15, and we're going to read the first 7 or 8 verses of John chapter 15. This is a very, very familiar text. But as we read through this text, I would encourage you to look at, if you can discern, where the hub of the text is. Often, paragraphs will have a central hub, if you will, and sometimes there's kind of like spokes that come out from that hub. I don't know that there are spokes here, but there is a central phrase in this text that everything else flows around, and I'll not give it away right away, but if you can find it, I think you'll rejoice in the treasure that it is. But we're going to read beginning in verse 1 of John chapter 15. We're talking about, eventually, what it means to pray God's word. Scripture says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So this is the foundation few verses that set the stage for the next couple of verses, because the next few verses talk about not only this vine farmer relationship, but our abiding in Christ as the stage has been set. Verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit, and vines bear grapes. As the branch cannot bear fruit of except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, and so shall ye be my disciples. So, Father in heaven, as we enter into looking at these few verses, we thank you for meeting with us this morning. We thank you for teaching us this morning. And now we're back, and we're back in your word, and we have your word opened, and we have hearts opened and ears opened and eyes opened. And we'd ask that you would invade our lives with your Holy Spirit. Fill us. We'd ask that we would know the outpouring of your Holy Spirit in this room, in our hearts. And may it be that our lives are refreshed in you. We live in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, the 63rd Psalm tells us. And we've come out of that dry and thirsty land for a day of respite and a day of retreat and really a day of advance in you. And now we go back into the world again, a dry and thirsty land. And we'd ask that during this time that we would have our spirits refreshed and our souls recharged. There's folks here tonight that have a lot on the schedule and have had a lot on the schedule. And we'd ask that even these few moments would be a rejuvenation time from your word and in your presence. And we'll look forward to what you have for us and will do in us as we meet around your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So if we were to peruse this text again, let me just call our attention to a couple of things as more of a narrative than or an editorial comments than anything else. Verse 4 talks about, except it abide, this branch abiding, or the abiding in Christ. In other words, life can only come from the vine. We get our life from Jesus Christ. He says, I am the vine, verse 5. And he that abideth, and the idea is much the same as in a marital relationship where there is intimacy between the husband and wife. We would call that a union with each other, but also then here's the union with Christ. He that abideth, he's intimate in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And the idea is, as we are in union with Christ, salvation, following Christ, there will be much fruit. It's assured. For without me, ye can do nothing. Now, I have this highlighted in my notes because it appears to me that is the key phrase of the entire paragraph. If you don't have union with me, you can't do anything. If you have union with me, you can do anything. Without me, you can do nothing. This is like he's trying to, the Lord is working toward building these stories and these illustrations to show us you need to be in union with me. This union is special to us in Jesus Christ. Without that union, verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. I don't know if you've ever been walking along the seashore or the coastline and you come across driftwood. There's no life in it. It's been around for a while. It's decaying. It wouldn't take much if it were dried out to be incinerated by one match. It's lifeless. This is the picture here. It is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are consumed, burned. So this is the union that we have in Christ. This is the abiding in Christ. The vine, the branch, finds life in the vine. And life can only happen because we have been made a part of the vine. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture here. If you think about it, the lie of the devil, as far as salvation goes, is that you can have life without Christ. Just work harder. Just be more religious. Just give more to charity, and you will be fine. That's the lie of the devil. Self-righteousness is the lie of the devil. Self-accomplishment. And if you're here tonight and you've been invited here by someone else, or it was raining and you wanted to get out of the rain, I don't know why you might be here as maybe a guest tonight. We would say to you, the only hope that we have is life in Jesus Christ. The only salvation can only be found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. It can't be found in a Presbyterian church. It can't be found with God's people. It can't be found because you're sitting in a pew. It can't be found because we sang beautiful hymns and even giving in the offering or thinking, I'm going to do better this week. None of that is, all of that is empty apart from the person and work of Jesus Christ. And we would say to you, if you're sensing emptiness in your heart, that can only be found and only be fulfilled by a person. Not a husband or not a wife or a friend, but the person of Jesus Christ. And we invite you to put your trust and your confidence in him. But with a parallel thought, if you are a believer and you are a follower of Jesus Christ, there are still lies that we are tempted with, and that is, if you just look like we say you should look, or don't go to the places we say you shouldn't go, or walk this way, or talk this way, all of these things may be fine, but if your relationship of love to the Lord is based on something external rather than internal with Jesus Christ, it's empty. It's fruitless. It's frustrating. And you're never certain, have I done enough? Do I look right? Is my conduct up to what I think it should be, or somebody else should think it should be? Our life is not in our externals, but in our internal walk with Jesus Christ. And when we take our confidence off of ourselves and put our confidence on Jesus Christ, then there is vibrancy and life and zeal. And we would even say union with Jesus Christ, because we are in Christ Jesus. And then Jesus seals us, and we are forever his. And no one can take that from us. Nothing can separate us from Jesus Christ. That's the beauty of this union. Now, my wife was not able to be here this morning. She is able to be here this evening. We have a marriage. We just, July 28th. We celebrated 40 years of being a couple, and that's pretty good for a couple of 35-year-olds. We have four children, and we have seven grandchildren. They are the best grandchildren ever that we've ever had. But we love being married, and there's days when the relationship could be better. My fault, not hers. But we are never not married. Does that make sense? So you can't be more or less married. Now, we can have more or less strength in our relationship, but we are always married. When we trust Jesus Christ as Savior, we are always in union with him. But there's a nuance in this text, because the Apostle John wants us to see something very special. The union is unchanged and unchangeable. But then he uses another phrase that highlights not just the union, but the communion that we have with Jesus Christ. And that can change. So, verse 7 and the last part of verse 7 says this. John adds this element that's so important. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And my words abide in you. Could I recommend to you that part of abiding with Jesus Christ, part of that union with Jesus Christ, is communion with Jesus Christ? Now, I'm not talking about what you'll be doing next Sunday and celebrating the Lord's table and taking the juice and the bread. That is communion, and that is a demonstration of our communion with Jesus Christ and communion with each other. This is something a little bit different. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. Our relationship with Jesus Christ deepens as we follow him, and part of following him is letting his word dwell in our hearts. Now, I have a pet peeve, and it's sometimes helpful and sometimes not. One of my pet peeves is when a preacher stands and said, "We need to have more faith." And everybody says, "Yeah, we need to have more faith." And we go out and we think, "So how do we do that?" And there's not the implementation or the application given. John gives us the application. John tells us how it is that we are to have this abiding and even this communion with the Lord. Our connection with Jesus is like that branch connection to the vine. And if that is the case, then the Word of God is the nutrition. It's the nutrients that go through the vine to us. And then actually then can flow back and forth between Jesus and us, the Lord and us, and the natural result of that is prayer. The natural result of that is our talking to our Savior. So we could actually refer to it as this. We have God's Word open. We read God's Word. We are inhaling God's Word, and we're exhaling prayer. It's a natural result of ingesting God's Word. So that then, as we read God's Word, and as we meditate on God's Word, if His words abide in us, then our praying is guided not by our thoughts, not even guided by our prayer lists. Our praying is guided by God's Word and shaped by God's Word and fueled by truth in God's Word and the very heart of God. And God hears our prayers as His own word. And He responds in joy because they match His heart. So from the outside in, from God's word into our heart, and then actually from inside out to the Lord, this is not ritual praying. This has made such a difference in my personal prayer life, but also my public or corporate prayer life. This is not trying to impress someone or praying the right sequence of words or trying to pray with beautiful context. This is simply taking God's word and praying it back to Him. There is no plastic involved. There is no ritual involved. It is Holy Spirit fueled praying. This was ironed into my heart a long time ago, probably 15 years ago. We were living in Colorado, and I was invited to come to Atlanta, Georgia, to participate in a discussion by an organization called, I think the organization was called Tent Makers, and they're still involved, but I was getting some post-grad work done at Northland Baptist Bible College in Wisconsin, and they had teamed up with Tent Makers, and they brought in about 80 pastors to discuss the matter of tent making in missions. And if you're unfamiliar with that text, much of this would be what we call today business as missions. This is where, let's say, an American that wants to go to where I was this last week, Kathmandu, Nepal. You really can't just get a missionary license to go there. They would never approve it. But you can go and start a business. And you can have a business, and while you are tent making, as Paul was a tent maker, then you can do ministry as a result of having a presence there. And many Christians have done that. So we were invited to come to this conference room in Atlanta and discuss tent making. One of the exercises that was done at this conference, there was about 8 tables in the room and probably 8 to 10 people around each table. They had hired, there was a man there that is normally hired as a professional brainstormer. I never knew that existed. It's fascinating to me that it does. But he works in the auto industry, and specifically in the auto industry. And his job is to generate innovative thoughts within people. And so as we were talking about tent making, and he is a believer, he had a large artist pad, I'm not sure how to describe, an easel, that was about a 4 foot tall, 4 by 3 foot pad of paper. And he ripped one of those pages off and he put it on the first table with a bunch of magic markers. And then he did that for every table. And we thought, are we going to scribble? Are we going to draw? And he said, now, I want you to write on that page everything that comes to mind about tent making. And nothing is barred. You can write sentences, you can write words, you can draw pictures, but anything that comes to mind about tent making, put it down. You have 10 minutes, and I want you to fill that page up. Well, that was okay. We did that, and we filled the page up in 10 minutes, phrases, words about tent making, Bible references, historical characters about Paul and tent making, and he gathered those, after 10 minutes, he gathered those pages up, and he put them up with sticky tack on the cinder block conference room wall, and then he discussed every single page. He went through and he discussed all the ideas and connected thoughts. It's really intriguing. It was very good. But then he said, now, we're going to do that again. And he ripped off pages off that easel again, and he put it down on the tables. He put the magic markers back, and he said, now, you have 7 minutes to do the same thing. But you can't duplicate anything you've seen or heard. It has to be all new material. And we thought, that's not possible. We've already had our brains wrung out. And then he looked at us, he said, stop arguing and write. So we did. And we did. We filled up that page with brand new material that we hadn't seen on the walls or on our own page before. He picked them up, put them on the walls, talked about it, and by that time we were just amazed. You know, this is all like fresh meat. This is new material. New pages on the table. Magic markers. You have 4 minutes. Go. And in 4 minutes, we filled it up. He picked it up, put it on the walls, talked about it, then he came back to the center of the room, and in a very quiet voice, he said, now, the human mind is capable of going deeper than we ever thought possible. But you go home, and you read your Bibles this way, and you pray this way, and let the Holy Spirit take you deeper into His Word than you've ever thought possible. I went home, I started on the airplane, I started with the first verse of Romans chapter 1, verse 1. And I just started meditating on one verse of Scripture. And over the course of several days, I filled up 8 pages of notes on one verse of Scripture. Ladies and gentlemen, it's changed the way I read the Scriptures. It's changed the way I pray. That's why I want us to look at Psalm 67 tonight. So, and that's the way we looked at it this morning, we looked at it tonight. I would encourage you to take Psalm 67 home and do this. with Psalm 67. Let the Holy Spirit of God take you deeply into His Word. It is, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will pray. Soon after that, as my life and prayer changed, this was at the end of the year, and then at the very first Sunday of January in the church I was pastoring in Colorado, I challenged our congregation with something, and I'm going to challenge you with it. And maybe you've already been, this is not a new challenge, maybe you're already doing this. I challenged the congregation to take 90 days and read the entire Bible in 90 days. Now, many people read the Bible through in a year, and that's a great goal. Reading it through the Bible in 90 days takes quite a bit of effort. At least an hour and a half of reading every day, depending on your reading speed, to read 90 days the entire Bible. I had never done it before. This was the first Sunday in January. I just said, let's use the next 90 days to do this. Well, I did not know that our song director in the church, a man by the name of Barry Gert, was sitting over here, and he was up to lead the next song. And he came to the pulpit, and he said, I want to add something to Pastor Rick's challenge. He said, I've been reading a paragraph of theology every night before I go to bed. Just one paragraph, not a page, not a chapter, just a paragraph. So would you add that to your Bible reading? And we tracked about 40% of the church read the Bible in 90 days. And about 2 weeks later, after we started this, Barry Gert noticed something in the congregation. He said, I have never seen the elevation of intensity of song like I've seen here. And he said, I see people weeping as they're singing. And there was one lady, her name was Deb, and I went to her afterwards, and she I looked around, that I hadn't before that, and I started looking around the congregation and while they were singing, and I said, Deb, why is it that you're so emotional when you sing? And she said, well, do you remember the challenge of reading the Bible through in 90 days and a paragraph before I pillow my head at night? She said, I've been reading about the grace of God. I've been reading theology about the grace of God, and then the scripture was matching the grace of God, and then tonight we sang Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. She said, I just can't contain what God is doing in my heart. And I thought, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will pray, and that which you ask for will be done. You are going to be praying the heart of God. And he is going to be responding to his own word as we pray these things. So, one author said this, just speak to the Lord about everything that occurs to you as you meditate on his word. Open the Bible, start reading it, and pause at every verse and turn it into a prayer. As our church in Colorado started doing this, our chairman of the deacons said this. He said, Rick, he said, we used to say in our church, when we corporately prayed, he said, we used to say, bow your heads and close your eyes. He said, I recommend we change that to bow your heads and open your Bibles. And that became kind of a phrase in the ministry, because it became so natural for us to pray God's word publicly, to the point where when Barry Gert would come and lead, and he was just visiting with us here a few weeks ago, and we were recalling this, he would stop, and I don't know if this is legal or not, but he would stop in the middle of a song, and somebody would start praying, and somebody else would start a new song about what we were already singing. And somebody would quote scripture, and a teenager would start praying, and then it would get quiet, and Barry would continue the song. It was so organic and beautiful. It was engaging, and I thought, this is a whole lot better than trying to fill our time with praying for somebody's bunions and gizzards and all these things that we pray for in health requests and prayer meetings, and this to where it's we leave and we think, why were we even here? If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask. It's going to be natural. What you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified. You want to glorify the Lord? Do this. You want to bear fruit? You want to grow deeply in the Lord like you've never grown before? That ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Some of you will know the name J. Graham Miller. He was a missionary in the South Pacific, early 1900s. He said this, for freshness of utterance, for breadth of comprehension, for elevation of thought, for intimacy of heart, there is no prayer like that which forms itself in the words and thoughts of Scripture. We live in an academic city. Many of you maybe even work in an academic culture. We are trained to analyze the Scripture. But I hasten to say that we may have been schooled in theology and even schooled in exposition, but it can be empty. It can be plastic. It can be surface if we're not abiding in Christ and letting His words abide in us. There's a difference. And it can be a noticeable difference. The transformation of our lives happen as we are abiding in God's word. If you want something to really stir your heart for personal study, I would challenge you to go through the New Testament and look at where the Scriptures are prayed. Our Lord, hanging on the cross, prayed, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's Psalm 22. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. That's Psalm 31. The final act of the earthly life of Christ was to pray Scripture. Acts chapter 4 that we referenced this morning, where Peter and John had been released and they prayed with one accord. They prayed Psalm 2. So I submit to you today, tonight, that letting God's word dwell in our hearts and abide with us is so effective and so nourishing and so powerful and so engaging that I would just challenge you even to take one verse tonight. Rehearse it in your heart before you go to bed. Think about it when you wake up in the morning and pray through it tomorrow. One verse and see where God leads you. I'll guarantee you it will be effective in your life with the Lord. Now, would you now go to Psalm 67? We're going to read through this one more time, and then I'm just going to close our time in prayer, but I'd like to pray this psalm in your hearing. It would be very disconcerting to have a sermon on prayer and not pray, especially not pray God's word. So, and I did that once, and I learned my lesson. I preached at a very large large auditorium, many pastors and preachers there, and I preached on corporate prayer, and I said, amen. And they all looked at me like, aren't we going to pray? And so I don't want that look from you. So we're going to read this text, and then we'll close praying God's word. Psalm 67. God, be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Let the people praise thee. O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase. And God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. And all the earth, all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Psalm 67. Father, as we have met around your word tonight, we thank you for, we even thank you for the rain that kind of erases the externals, erases the disturbances outside and helps us focus quietly on the inside. As I mentioned this morning, even Paul prayed, thanking you for your mercies, which are new every morning this morning before the service started. And we say to you again, God, would you be merciful unto us? You have demonstrated your mercy in forgiveness. You've demonstrated your mercy in health. We're here tonight because we're breathing, and it's only because of your mercy and your grace. And so with that, we say, would you continue to bless us? Would you bless us with opportunities to serve you? Would you bless us with the knowledge of your presence in our homes? Would you bless us with sweetness of talk about you? Would you bless us with opportunities of advancing your kingdom, even tonight and tomorrow? Would you be merciful unto us and bless us? And I noticed down further in the text, the psalmist says, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. What a striking phrase that is, Lord. Even our own God. Tonight, we want to thank you that we can actually call you our own God. It's not that there are many gods to choose from. You are the only God, but you are personal to us. Just before this, in the 63rd Psalm, we're told that you are my God, and early will I seek you. Thank you for the personal relationship we can have with you. I think so often, God, of the fact that you created the world. And as God, as creator God, you could have then backed away from your creation, and we would have never known you as the creator. But you not only created the world, then you revealed yourself to us through your Son and through your word. You didn't have to do that. But then you went past that because you not only revealed yourself to us, you allow us to approach you. And we will forever be in your presence. As sovereign, supreme God, we don't have any credibility before you to stand before you. Our credibility is found in our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we can call you our own God because of him. That's part of your blessing to us, is being found in Christ Jesus. So, Father, with that, we cry out with the psalmist, let the people praise thee. We praise thee because you're our own God. We know you and we'll know you forever. But there may be people in this room that don't know you. There's definitely people outside of this room who don't know you in this dry and thirsty land where no water is. We want to see your glory so as it was seen in the sanctuary. We want to see many, many people come to know you as their own God so that they will say, we praise thee. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your blessing to us, O God. So even if we were to take this word people and say, let the nations praise thee, we don't want salvation to be just exclusive to Greenville. We want it to be South Carolina and the U.S. and around the world. We want to see people come to know you as their king. We can't help but just saying that is saving health among all nations, that thy way may be known upon the earth. Father, there's so much in this psalm. And we could probably, if we open the floor up to anybody to pray, we would probably be here until Tuesday, just extolling your greatness and adoring you for who you are and what you're doing. Thank you for giving us your word that we can use as a platform for prayer. Even as I look in this text, I'm thinking of a prayer list and the things that we can hang on each word. If we're thinking of let the people praise thee, probably those who are not praising you, people that we know who are not believers, will come to mind. And so we slide those into this psalm as those that we have a burden for. We pray for, I noticed there was a missionary in the bulletin noted, we pray for whoever that missionary is, we pray that they would be slid into this blessing that can only come from you. Even in verse 7, God shall bless us. Would you bless the missionaries that this church supports? And Father, in that blessing, we'd ask that there would be a generation, a new generation of servants raised up here for pastors and teachers and missionaries as part of your blessing, so that all the ends of the earth shall fear you. And even in that word fear, we're reminded of reverence, awe of who you are. That's what we want. We're not here for our own good. We're here for your good and your glory. So we'll just take this that the psalmist has offered before you, and we offer it before you as our heart's adoration and our heart's yearning and our heart's praying and our uplifted abiding in you, and ask that you answer and bless as only you can. And may it be that this scripture from John 15 and these words from the Psalms will follow us home and be the hound of heaven, be that which chases us and envelops us and saturates our hearts and our lives. And may it be that even as we go our separate ways and go into our homes, and maybe even if we go to work or school tomorrow, may it be that people know that we have been with Jesus because we have his word dwelling in our hearts. And may this even strengthen praying together. And it's in the precious name of Jesus that we pray these things. Amen. Amen.